Well, good morning, everyone. First thing we're going to do is mention the psalm we just sung. Lovely psalm. There is in that psalm a picture presented to you of events that will take place at the end of this age. Read it. Notice the earth shaking, the earthquake, mountains being thrown into the sea. And it's all a picture of events that will take place at the end of the age when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. The next psalm, it tells us what it will be like on the earth when he has come. It speaks about the Lord being king over all the earth and the wonderful peace and blessing that ensues. Well, I thought I would just say that by way of introduction. I never sing that psalm, but I think of those things and I look at them afresh. Now, we're turning today to Numbers, the chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, and we're going to read a few verses from that chapter. Numbers chapter 21. Now, we really have finished with Moses as a picture of the Lord Jesus. But I couldn't leave that period of Israel's history without touching upon one particular event. You'll find it familiar, but it is so filled with the gospel that I wanted to look at it today. Before we move on, and we'll be moving on to Joshua. It might be next week before we get there. Spend a couple of assemblies in this portion, but we'll be moving on to Joshua in the will of the Lord. Verse 5 then, Numbers chapter 21. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. That's the manna. Now you listen to what those people were saying among themselves, this muttering against God. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. That is, serpents whose bite was like an injection of fire. That's what the term really means. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Now we'll be speaking of the mercy of the Lord, but let us notice the great patience and graciousness of Moses. Some of us might have been inclined to have said to those who had been bitten by the snake that, "You deserve it, now live with it, put up with it." Because they had deserved this punishment, and they'd spoken not once or twice, but many times against Moses and against the Lord. But Moses was most patient. He prayed for the people. Verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our heart. Now this is a most remarkable event in the midst of many remarkable events during Israel's journeys in the wilderness. And I wish to draw your attention to these verses that we read together before, as I say, we move on in our study of the pictures of Christ. The incident regarding these fiery serpents illustrates to us how men may be saved. It's recorded here that you might learn how you may be saved. Now, you might say, how can this show us how we may be saved? We haven't been bitten by serpents. We're not dying of snake poison. But there is the gospel here. And my proof of the fact that this portion presents to us the gospel is seen in a very famous chapter in John's Gospel, the chapter 3. Now you know what chapter 3 contains, that lovely verse 16, where we are told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a famous verse, but go back
a few verses,
as it were, to the introduction to this verse, and listen to what we read in verse 14. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Lord Jesus is saying, do you remember the story of Moses? And of course, there wasn't a Jew but would know about the story of the fiery serpent. Well, the Savior says, that's an illustration of what it is I have come to do. As the serpent was lifted up, even so must I be lifted up. And as men look to the brazen serpent upon the pole, even so, if men look to me, they shall be saved. Now, I want us to lay down, as it were, a very simple principle, but one I want you to remember. We see here in John chapter 3, the verses 14 and 15, how that the Savior's reference to the fiery serpent shows us how Old Testament events and Old Testament history serves to illustrate the gospel. That's why God has given us the Old Testament, because there is there many, many wonderful instructions regarding the gospel. We should bear that in mind. A lot of people dismiss the Old Testament, even those who would profess to be Christians, because they're ignorant of this truth. They think the Old Testament, that's nothing to do with us. We should just stick with the New Testament. I remember, it was a long time ago, when we started to preach over in Lisbalaw. I remember a Christian man of many years standing who had begun to attend our meetings saying to me, why do you preach so often out of the Old Testament? Surely the New Testament's our book. Now, I couldn't help answering him in a fashion that was sort of natural to me. I said, I'm doing just what the Lord Jesus did. He never preached from the New Testament. He only preached from the Old Testament. Which sort of set him back on his heels, because very obviously he hadn't really thought about the matter. But that's true. There was no New Testament when the Lord Jesus was preaching. He could only preach out of the books from Genesis to Malachi. Which serves to underline the fact that the gospel is to be found in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, it is. It's to be found in the Old Testament. Listen to these words, and you can look them up, you older ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And here we have the word of the Apostle Paul. And he's writing to New Testament believers. And he's talking here to them about sin and its consequences and the way of God's salvation. He's urging them to be holy and to turn from evil things. Look at verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. That's the Jewish people, Israel, in the Old Testament time. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. One of the incidents in Israel's history. And they sinned greatly against the Lord. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, or types, or pictures, and they are written, recorded, for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. There you have the principle that I want you to grasp. The Old Testament contains pictures, types, examples of God's way of salvation, the consequences that sin brings upon a people, and the way by which we may be recovered. Go back a few pages in your New Testament to Romans, and you will find the same truth stated by Paul in chapter 15 of Romans. Chapter 15 of Romans, and we're looking at the verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime in times past were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Old Testament is a book of hope. It's a book of comfort. So many people think, oh, it's a book of terrible judgments and displays of God's wrath. Well, that's very true. But it's not limited to that. For you find recorded in the Old Testament examples of God's mercy. Numerous examples of God's mercy. When the people in their wickedness deserved His wrath and experienced something of His wrath, nevertheless, He had mercy upon them and they weren't utterly destroyed. So when we read the Old Testament, we're going to find comfort. When we sin, when we backslide, when we do wrong, when we disobey, we can go to the Old Testament and there we can find people who did just what we did. And we can see how God in His mercy recovered them, brought them back. We can see the path they took and we can seek to walk in that same path. The Old Testament, it's a book of comfort. It's a book of blessing. It's a book of instruction for us. Well, that's the principle that I want to set before you in our look at what we read in Numbers chapter 21. Here, the Lord Jesus uses this very incident to set forth the teaching that lies behind the cross. Here He says, you can understand why I have come, what it is I'm going to do, and how it is I'm going to provide salvation. If you look at the serpent in the wilderness, the brazen serpent that Moses raised up on high. I think I'll leave it there. Coming back again to this passage of God's Word, the next time we're with you, in the will of the Lord. But as we close, look at the end of verse 8. Of Numbers chapter 21. That's the last and most important part of the instruction that the Lord gave to Moses and of course through him was giving on to the people of Israel. Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. There is a stumbling block at which many people stumble when they hear the gospel. And the stumbling block is this. It's too simple. It's too simple. You're telling me that I have only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved? That simplicity is illustrated for us here. Whoever was poisoned by the serpent, they didn't have to rub in any ointment. They didn't have to swallow down some bitter medicine. They had but to look to that brazen serpent that Moses had put on a pole and raised up in the middle of the camp. That's all they had to do. That's all they had to do. They hadn't to walk or crawl because I'm sure the poison in many of them would have begun to incapacitate them so that maybe they weren't able to move. But they didn't have to. They only had to look. Now let me ask you, have you looked to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you in your heart turned your eyes upon the Lord Jesus and said, He's my hope. He's my Savior. I'm trusting in Him. Because that's how you get saved. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we ask Thee to bless us. We thank Thee for Your mercy. And O God, I pray that boys and girls will understand what it is to look to Christ. And may those amongst the children who are saved understand that they may continue and should continue to look to Christ and obtain from Him further blessing. Oh God, teach the boys and girls. Do remember the staff, remember those who are sick in particular. Oh God, look down kindly upon the school. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.